Welcome to Autogrill third quarter 2012 financial results presentation.
Good evening to everybody. Welcome to our third quarter 2012 results conference call. As usual, I draw your attention on the forward-looking statement slide. And now I pass through the word to Mr. Gianmario Tondato, Group CEO.
Thank you for not demoting me, but thank you for attending the conference call. And I'm glad to tell you that that finally we have a decent slash good quarter. And I think the third quarter was quite good. If we think also the environment in which we operated. And there are four things that define this quarter, in my opinion. The first is the performance of the travel retail that is astonishing and really extremely positive. The second thing is that we see better management of our P&L in Italy and in the U.S., in the most important countries in which we're in. Third, and very important to me, we have a better cash flow generation with the presence of a higher capex, so an interesting result really. Fourth, we're taking successfully some steps, you know, to develop our activities in fast-growing part of the world in which we weren't in before. Well, let's start with the easiest thing, you know, that is the travel retail. This business goes from strength to strength. They presented really a strong set of numbers. We are outperforming traffic even more, and once again, our profitability is increasing more than our sales. So our sales are up, the top line is up 5%, and our EBITDA is up 14%. So really, I'm very pleased with the management team that we have, an incredible result, and they keep on going really very, very well. The second thing is that in addition to that, we also win with our travel retail division. We also won Dusseldorf, that is an important contract, and we won also our first concession in Brazil, preparing ourselves for the future bid process that is going to take place, you know, starting from next year, and Jamaica as well. So, an important effort on the development side, and of course there is the pending process of the extension renewal of the bid process for Spain, but you know, as you know, probably by the end of December, I think everything is going to be clear. So we're going to know soon where we are in this country. You know. Let's now move on to what I think is the most problematic, but also most interesting part of our business. You know, that is the food and beverage. You know. Let me tell you two things. Now, there are things that we can control and things that we cannot control. Well, let's start with the second part of the statement. You know. Traffic is a given. GDP is a given. Country GDP that is really strongly related to traffic is a given for us. Price of the oil, of the petrol, you know, is a given for us. So we can do little about this factors. You know, we can really do little to manage the impact of this negative environment that, especially in Europe, but in some cases also in other countries, is happening right now. You know, price of raw material is somehow a given. We can do something, not a lot, but we can do something to ease down the tension. So pricing, of course, is one strategy. The second thing that we can do is change our menus. You know, move out things that cost more and put in the things that cost less. You know, and try to really change the mix of what we do, you know, in the F&B that we can do something about, but again, is another area in which we can do very few. Cost of health insurance, health system, you know, as you know, that's another factor. You know, in the last 3-4 years, you know, this has been improving and actually not improving, so deteriorating. So it's costing more to us, you know, to manage labor, especially in the United States. Again, this is a given, is a factor that is not in our control, and this is something that is really compressing our margin. What we can do, so the positive attitude of the management team, I think has been really impressive and important in what is in our control. Our operations, if you look at the productivity, labor productivity in two main countries in which we are operating, one is Italy, the other one is the U.S. To give you an idea, the U.S., the airport U.S. comp, in this sector, our productivity was down 1% at the beginning of the year. Now is up in the last quarter, almost 1%. It's an important management effort, an important planning effort that took place. I'm very pleased to see that we are taking more and more control on our P&L. Italy as well, in this declining, almost disaster scenario in which we lost almost 8% of traffic in the motorway business. Productivity was down 5% at the beginning of the year, and now is down less than 1% in the third quarter. There are a lot of actions that are happening, a lot of things that are happening, things that are happening in our operation, and I'm very pleased to tell you that we're getting there little by little, even this difficult environment. Second, our cost structure, G&A cost structure or central structure. As you know, we are streamlining all Europe. We are trying to put together all the G&A for Italy and most of the G&A for Italy and the rest of the European countries. The massive process is costing us a lot of management effort and also means more cost now, frankly speaking, hoping that we're going to have a leaner and meaner structure next year in the next near future. Third, our cash flow generation is being selective in the F&B, really, in our investment. We are focusing in the most growth part of the business. Overall, what I can tell you is that we are closing the wide gap that we started the year with. The third quarter is really showing us some good improvements in our operation. Overall, looking at the global business, the duty-free and F&B, we can say the following things. We have seen improvements in North America and Italy, especially thanks to the labor productivity. We have delivered better cash flow generation despite, or in addition, I will say, despite the fact that we have invested more CapEx. I think is a really an important achievement for our organization. We have concentrated our investments in what we think is the most interesting channel, is the airport channel. We have reached some important milestones, consolidating and developing activities, including one of the most important contract is in our portfolio, this is Amsterdam, the Schiphol Airport. Developing an important airport in Turkey, in operations in Dubai, and what I said before for the duty-free. Let's start with the last point, the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter we are in already. Unfortunately, we had this bad storm in the U.S. that is really impacting our P&L because we still have a couple of plazas flooded in the New Jersey Turnpike right now. It has been a massive disruption for us. Of course, it's a one-off, so it's not something that is going to stay with us, fortunately, for a long time, but it has an impact, of course, in our operation. We will continue to focus our operation on productivity, on generating more cash flow, on extending or re-winning important contracts, and developing fast-growing market to compensate the scenario that in Europe is becoming really difficult and more negative. Now I'll let Alberto De Vecchio, our CFO, to walk you through the numbers. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Gianmario, and good afternoon. The summer is over, and as expected, the macro environment in which we operate continues to be difficult. Traffic was weaker in the third quarter, but thanks to a good August, we achieved satisfactory result in both our businesses. Overall, F&B delivered better results than in the first two quarters of the year, thanks to improving margins in North America and slightly better sales in Italy. Now, starting with the United States, traffic at U.S. airports was flat in the third quarter, while it was up by 1.4% in the first 6 months. So that is not good news because this slowdown of the traffic happened in the most important quarter of the year. Despite the slowdown in traffic, we continue to deliver robust sales growth. Comparable airport sales were up by 6.6% in the third quarter, double what we achieved both in Q1 and Q2. This brought an increase in airport comparable sales year to date of 4.4%, with traffic only growing by 1%. The same trend was observed on motorways. From one side, the traffic flattening, and from the other side, improving performance in terms of sales, with comparable sales up 6%. This is a very different scenario from what we see in Europe. Margins in U.S. are still lagging behind the sales growth. This was in part forecasted due to closure and startup of new point of sales, the final tail of the huge increase in raw material prices which manifested in 2011, and the characteristics of the new local concepts we introduced in recent bids, which generate more sales because of the higher average ticket, but they are also less efficient to run, both in terms of cost of goods sold and labor. In the first half, the impact of these elements was comparatively stronger as a result of more disruption caused by the closures and the new openings. In the third quarter, we are still behind, but closing the gap, mostly thanks to an improving labor productivity. And in fact, in U.S. airports, productivity in the first half was down by 0.7% compared to 2011, while it was up by 0.7% in the third quarter compared to the same period of the previous year. In motorways, we did in U.S. even better, because while we were growing our productivity by 1.5% in the first half, we were up by 3.4% in the third quarter. The net result of better sales and managerial actions on costs is the closure of the gap on EBITDA. In fact, while AGI was down by $19 million approximately, million dollar as at June, the gap of the third quarter 2012 compared to the third quarter 2011 was reduced to $1.5 million. The EBITDA margin of the third quarter, in fact, is relatively close to the margin of the previous year. It is around 14.1%, 13.7% compared to 14.1%. In summary, we are satisfied with the results we have delivered so far in U.S., but we think we may do better. Most likely, this will not be possible starting from last quarter of 2012, as the quarter is impacted by the Hurricane Sandy that forced the closure of airports along its path, the cancellation of 14,000 flights in northeastern U.S., and damages to motorways. We estimate that Sandy, up to now, has had an impact on our numbers in this last quarter in between $1 and $2 million in terms of EBITDA. Now, looking at Italy, the very bad situation of Italian motorways continues, but the summer performed slightly better. Initial available data suggests that traffic in the third quarter fell by less than 7%, compared to a fall of 7.7% in the first semester. Our like-for-like motorway sales fell by 8.6% in the quarter, while they fell 12.6% in the first 6 months. Our sales underperformed compared to the traffic as a result of several facts. And just to enumerate some of them, the shift to lower average price concepts. Just to give you an example, at lunchtime, our sales at snack bar were down by 4.8%, and in the same period of the day, the sale at Chow were down by 5.7%. So not a big difference. But unfortunately, the average ticket of a lunch in a snack bar is around 6 euro, while it is around 12 euro at the Chow. Also, the poor performance on the market also did not help our sales to perform. And also, the fact that petrol prices continue to stay high in the motorways, and even more importantly, promotion run by oil companies outside the motorways, further worsened the disaffection of customers to stop at motorway service station. And finally, of course, the recession that is hitting hard, with a negative GDP of 2.6% as at August in Italy, and the consumer confidence index at the minimum in September. In this very poor and complicated scenario, our Italian food and beverage business is managing to reduce the profitability gap, mainly thanks to a strict management of labor productivity. You cannot keep the productivity when your sales go down, but while in the first half our productivity decreased by close to 5% in the semester, the decline has been limited to less than 1% in the third quarter. Thanks to this improvement, the third quarter has shown, as in the U.S., a strong reduction of the EBITDA gap. While as at June, our Italian EBITDA was lagging 26 million behind the first half of 2011, the EBITDA gap of the third quarter has been limited to 6.4 million. As Gianmario said, our goal in Italy is to ride out the storm without being scared of further falls if they help us better position our business for the future. We must be realistic and cannot be thinking of a reversal of fortunes unless we see a solid recovery in the economy. Given the situation in the Eurozone, such a reversal is unlikely in the short-term future. What we did not expect in F&B, even when we last talked to you at the end of July, was the worsening in performance of the other European countries. The rest of Europe, in fact, has had a very bad quarter. This has been especially negative, given that this area is highly reliant on the summer holiday season. While in the first half, the weakness was mostly concentrated in southern Europe, namely Spain and Greece, the summer did not go well also in France and Belgium, due to increases in fuel prices and toll charges. In general, the persistent confused situation in Eurozone is not in helping neither the traffic nor the consumption. In fact, the countries of this area where we perform better are Switzerland, Denmark, and Sweden, all outside the Eurozone. As a result of this, our sales fell by 4.4% in the third quarter. And our EBITDA also fell, more importantly, by 20.4% due to higher incidence of fixed cost on lower sales and an increase in the average hourly wage. In fact, in several countries we operate in, the increase in hourly wage is due to inflation-linked clauses, either provided for by laws, like in Belgium, or by our labor contract, like it is in the Netherlands. As the third quarter is by far the most important for this area, the delay we have accumulated here so far in the area can hardly be recovered in the months to come. We continue to work hard on developing our F&B business, especially in airports. We have renewed important contracts, including Atlanta and Amsterdam. Amsterdam is our most important contract worldwide, not just because of the importance of the airport, but also because we have always delivered excellent results here. In the last 10 years, sales have increased by 6.3% on average, compared to a traffic growth of 2.2%. We also won new contracts in emerging markets, including Turkey and Dubai. Now, moving to travel retail. As Gianmario said before, we deliver another excellent quarter, with EBITDA growing more than sales, despite weak traffic in the two key countries we operate in. In line with our expectations since the beginning of the year, the Olympics were not a boost to sales for World Duty Free. But what even we didn't expect was the fact that the traffic fell in UK 2.3% in July and 1% in August. The fear of chaos as well as high ticket and hotel prices, in fact, kept seasonal tourists away. This notwithstanding, our sales performance was good across the board. At the current exchange rate, our sales in the quarter grew by 11.2%, totaling 612 million euro in the quarter. We keep outperforming strongly in the UK, driven by the continued increase in spend per head, with sales growing by 4.4% in the third quarter, compared to a traffic fall of 0.9%. Heathrow performed in line with the whole UK, with sales up by 3.6% compared with the traffic down by 2%. Gatwick, which has now become a walk-through experience, also performed extremely well, growing by 10.8%. In Spain, our sales grew by 4.9% despite traffic falling by 3%. We saw a huge contrast between the two most important airports we manage in Spain. In Madrid, sales were down by 5.6%, but still much better than the fall of 8.9% that the airport experienced in traffic, which has been driven by heavy decrease of domestic business travel and problem at Iberia. In Barcelona, on the contrary, we continue to see important growth, both in terms of sales, that went up by 15.7%, largely outperforming the traffic increase of 5.9%. The rest of the world, we keep growing. Adjusting for the exit from Atlanta and Orlando concessions, sales in the rest of the world have grown in the quarter by 7.6% on a constant exchange rate. Vancouver continues to outperform strongly, notwithstanding refurbishment activities in our premises and thanks to the flow of passengers toward Asia. In South America, we have seen a slowdown of the growth compared to first quarter and second quarter due to less passengers and lower average spending by Brazilian passengers. But overall, the sales performance in the area remained very positive. Our profitability in third quarter for the sector continues to be strong, with an EBITDA that increased by an amazing 19.2%, far above the 11.2% increase in sales. In third quarter, EBITDA margin was about 14.8% compared to 13.8% in 2011. Further enhancing the year-to-date growth of the margin. And in fact, for the first 9 months of 2012, the EBITDA margin improved to 14.4% from 12.7%. As in previous quarters, our strong performance continues to be driven by a favorable sales mix. We have worked hard on our travel retail business to expand the portfolio of concessions under management, and we are pleased to have already won in 2012 110 million euros annual sales of new contracts, including new presences in new geographies in travel retail, like Germany, Jamaica, and Brazil. We are especially proud to have won the prestigious Das Düsseldorf contract, one of the largest contracts up for renewal this year. We are now focusing our effort on the renewal of our Spanish contracts, and we have included in the pack a flowchart of the process between now and when we expect to hear the outcome in December. Now, moving to financial figures and cash flow, overall, on the first 9 months of 2012, we may see a significant improvement of the net cash flow from operations. That grew from 276 million of the first 9 for 2011 to 415 million. Around 35 million of the difference come from one-offs. In 2011, we cashed 4 million as the final consideration of the flight disposal, but we also disbursed around 39 million to unwind some interest rate swaps related to the debt repaid in August last year. Part of the improvement in working capital is related that we achieved in the first 9 months of 2012 is related to the increase in payables on suppliers of capital goods, which are related to the strong increase of capital expenditures in the period, which have increased from approximately 120 million in the first 9 months of 2011 to 190 million. The year-to-date free cash flow generation before dividends has amounted to approximately 226 million compared to 156 million of the same period of last year. Looking at the operating cash flow performance by business, not surprisingly, our travel retail has been the most contributive. The business generated more than 187 million of free cash flow, also thanks to the very limited amount of capex done in the period. If we compare this 187 million with the result of travel retail last year, we see an increase of approximately 40 million. The food and beverage, inclusive of corporate cost, has generated 212 million of cash, but also invested more than 174 million in the period. The net free cash flow is approximately 38 million, that is 28 million better than the first 9 months of last year. In the year, Autogrill paid 71 million of dividend to shareholders, and there were 61 million in 2011. As the consequence of those changes, the net financial indebtedness of the group at the end of September was amounting to 1,427 million, with a decrease of 126 million with respect to the end of the year figures of 2011. Now, moving to what is happening after the end of third quarter, our group's store sales up to week 43 were flat compared to 2011, with airports up by 2.5% and motorways down by 6.9%. Breaking down by business, sales in travel retail were up by 5.4% and sales in F&B were down 2.5%. Summer results, most recent events and FX trends prompted us to update our July forecast. In these new projections, we are using an average exchange rate of 1.28 instead of 1.26 for the dollar-euro, and an average exchange rate of 0.80 instead of 0.86 for the pound. We forecast to deliver overall sales of around 6.1 billion, that is the same guidance we gave in July, while with respect to the EBITDA, we expect to deliver an exceptional result in travel retail that, however, cannot fully make up for the difficulties that we face in our F&B business. In North America and Italy, we keep on our focus and steps forward on operations and efficiencies. These actions will mitigate the impact of the very poor performance of the other European countries in the third quarter and the consequences of Sandy in eastern part of U.S. Based on those assumptions, and the recalculation based on the different exchange rates, we expect to generate a group EBITDA for the year between 585 million and 590 million euro. CapEx will be around 280 million, above guidance as a result of exchange rate movement and pushing some programs forward. Now, we are more than happy to answer to your question.
The Q&A session is now open. You can register for your question by dialing star followed by one. To cancel your reservation, dial star followed by two. The question comes from Ms. Rumsfeld Kim of Credit Suisse. Mr. Rumsfeld, please.
Thank you. Good evening. I have two questions, please. The first question is with regards to your guidance for the year. Could you just help us understand, firstly, what are you assuming for the impact of Hurricane Sandy for the whole of the quarter? Obviously, you commented that you'd experienced around about a one to two.
Excuse me. We cannot, barely able. I mean, we cannot hear you, really.
Is that better?
You should speak a bit louder, probably.
Louder because.
Is that better? Can you hear me now?
Try. Thank you.
Okay. I've taken off the headset and picked up my handset. I'll try again. So first question is just on your guidance for the rest of the year. So what are you assuming for the impact of Hurricane Sandy through the course of the fourth quarter? Are you assuming kind of an ongoing impact? Just a bit of help there. And then your views now versus July. Clearly, you've said that the rest of Europe was difficult in Q3. Italy actually looked pretty good. Are you feeling more positive now about Italy than you were 3 months ago? That's the first question. And then the second question was just with regards to a press release I saw on the HMS Host website talking about the sort of acquisition of the retail businesses of HMS Host by World Duty Free. So effectively a repositioning of those activities into World Duty Free. Can you confirm that's going to take place? Can you confirm when that's gonna be and what the likely transfer of EBITDA will be from HMS Host into World Duty Free?
That's Sandy, you know, it just happened. So we, of course, we are not ready to release any numbers, but you know, it's an impact. It's difficult for right now to understand the EBITDA impact of Sandy. You know, we have, of course, quite clear what the impact is on the top line. But it's quite, if you just watch in TV, you know, you've seen that they canceled a lot of flights and also, but it's around a couple of million, you know, that's the impact, you know. The second question.
In general, with the guidance, we were now, of course, the difference in exchange rate is responsible for some million of the difference in the guidance, between around, if I remember well, around 7 million. Then, we have to consider the very negative result, especially of France. I think that this is the country that disappointed us more. And unfortunately, it's the largest country we have outside Italy in the rest of Europe. They made a very negative summer. And, as it is so dependent from a vacation period, the other three quarters cannot, even if the last quarter was very positive, it cannot recover what we lost in the third quarter. And in the third quarter, we lost approximately 9 million. So these are the two main impacts. Then, Sandy, as Gian Mario said, is, we know already that it's around 2 million. The question mark we still don't know yet is when the situation goes back to normality because there are still part of the area of New York that are still under difficult situation because of the floods. So that, and there are some service areas that have been hit by the bad weather. So this is something that we cannot still completely evaluate, but we don't think that if the situation comes back to normality, is going to be much higher than what it has been already calculated. Italy is true that it's a bit better, but to some extent we were already including this in our guidance. So the fact that Italy did not have a bad result in summer was already factored in the 600 million guidance we gave. So for that reason, we think that we came out with this indication of a fork of 585 and 590. With respect to the transfer of the retail U.S. retail operations to World Duty Free, this is not yet executed. So we are in the process because it is a quite long process, extensive process. We have to ask the consent of the landlord. It takes time. There are many municipalities involved in the process. So we expect to finalize it, in the first month of 2013. So it's not going to be done, probably. We hope to finish at the time of the approval of the figures of 2012, that is around March or April. As a size, just to give you an indication of size, we are talking about around 10% of the size of sales of AGI, so around $260 million US dollar. This is in terms of sales. In terms of EBITDA, we still don't have a precise number because we know, of course, which is the contribution that we have today in AGI, but we probably will have some structure to put in place because we do think that we have done this transfer because we think that this way we can be much more effective in winning new concessions in North America. So what we want is also to build up a new business development group that may imply some extra cost, but we do expect to generate much more growth in the future than what we have been able to do with AGI. Otherwise, we would have kept the business there.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Next question comes from Ms. Oriana Bastianelli of Kairos. Ms. Bastianelli, please.
Hi, good afternoon. I have several questions. First of all, one clarification on the impact of Forex for the guidance, for the revised guidance. It is true that you have moved euro-dollar from 126 to 128, but at the same time, you also moved the assumption for the pound impact. So if you can help us a bit more in details with the Forex impact. Second is on the U.S. private placement. We discussed during the last call about the impossibility at the status at that time to allocate the private placement separately to the two divisions, and if I understand correctly, there is eventually a penalty associated. If you can elaborate a bit on this, the state of the art of the process now. The third question is related to the European rationalization that you were mentioning before, so including Italy, if you are including in the 2012 guidance extraordinary costs in order to, have better operations in 2013. And then if you can please give us some qualitative message at this stage clearly on 2013 for the for the two divisions? And last, sorry, is on CapEx, if you can help us understanding which will be your CapEx need for the following years, and where the CapEx in the food and beverage business went in 2012 so far. Thank you. Caduta la linea.
I start answering to your first two questions. So the first question is some help in understanding the impact of Forex and in general of the changes on the guidance. The impact of the Forex at the end is approximately 3 million minus, because it's around 8 million the impact on AGI result, and there is also some impact on the dollars that are generated by the travel retail, because also in travel retail we generate dollars, and there is an improvement of around 5 million on the pound. So the net is a negative of around 3 million. Then you have to add a negative of around 10 million in the rest of Europe. This is what more or less we have calculated as a negative impact compared to our previous rest of Europe in the guidance. And finally, there is this couple of million worsening of generated by Sandy that we already know. So if you add minus three, that is the CAPES, minus two, that is the Sandy, and 10, that is Europe, you end out 15, and 15, so 600 minus 15 is 585. That is more or less roughly the calculation we have done. Of course, we still see some possibility to improvement. That is why we gave 590, 585. In terms of for the USPP, we are working on that. So I think that we have a very good relationship with lenders. So I frankly speaking, I'm not too worried that we can find out an effective. Structure for continuing to finance our operations in U.S.
Can I just ask you, are you working on both the private placement expiring early 2013 and the other one expiring 2016 in order to avoid potential penalty for the...
I want to be clear, we don't have to pay any penalty, frankly speaking. I don't know how this idea that we have problems of penalties came out.
No, it's not a problem. I was not saying that. My understanding was, and clearly you can clarify if I'm not correct.
It is very simple. We have a U.S. private placement that is expiring in January 23rd next year. So obviously we have to repay and to refinance. And of course, as we did this transaction in 2003, in a moment in which we were only an SMB company, much smaller, a completely different, we will shape differently. And of course, as we don't like to have two different contracts, we wanted to shape the 2017 maturity with the same structure now we are organizing for the 2013 maturity. That is the only thing we are doing on the U.S. private placement. There are not other issues. Keep in mind that we are generating close to $3 billion of sales there, and we have around 32,000 people. So there is our interest in keeping this market open, because it's a market where we can finance in an environment that is quite different compared to Europe, and where you have to rely upon capital market and not only two banks in order to finance the company. So obviously it's an important market. We have a very good relationship with lenders, and I think, frankly speaking, I don't think that we have a problem there. So I'm very positive that we can refinance even the amount that is expiring in January with a new facility, but in the very In the event that we run out of time, we have also backup facilities in order not to have any problem of liquidity. That is the situation for U.S. I remember that you asked for
the European rationalization that you were mentioning, Mr. Tondato was mentioning before.
Can you wait a second, sir?
Yeah, sure.
I think we are planning cost reduction of something like 9-10 million for next year. That's what we are looking for. An important chunk of money. And talking about your last question was 2013. I think, you know, I don't see any change in the business environment and business behavior of travel retail. Of course, taking for a moment aside the bid process in Spain, but I think it's quite strong. I mean, especially in airports like Heathrow, I don't see any additional problems. Actually, I see quite positive environment. I think we're gonna win something in emerging markets, something else. I see some improvements, frankly speaking, coming. I hope some improvements in Italy, at least a stabilization of the market. And I think in the United States, it's too early to say, you know, because we don't know exactly what Mr. Obama is gonna do, but I think that the economy, as far as I see today, you know, our environment is going to be a little bit more stable. So I don't see a problem of really in traffic coming. So, of course, Europe won't be over the crisis. We're going to have a lot of redundancy and cost to take action on, but overall, I think I hope you know that some of the issues that we have been facing this year are somehow easing down next year.
Okay, the last one is just on CapEx. If you can provide a guidance for broad guidance for CapEx going forward, and explain where the year-to-date CapEx went, especially in the food and beverage division.
I mean, it's a good effort, you know, but we didn't finalize the budget yet, so so it's too early, I think, you know.
Okay, thanks.
No questions at the moment. I remind you that to register for your question, you can press star followed by one. Next question comes from Mr. Riccardo Romiati of One Investments. Mr. Romiati, please.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I have just one. On the Spanish concession, are you considering the need to pay an upfront fee in order to secure the concession?
We cannot hear you, sorry, if you can, I don't know if you...
yes, so sorry. Yeah, so on the Spanish concession, are you considering the need to pay an upfront fee in order to secure the concession?
So what, it is in the bid process, if you... You're already in the bid process, how much you should pay, you know, so it's... Of course we are.
Ah, okay. Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
It is just to clarify, it is in the bid process. It is an advance payment of rent. That means that then the amount is going to be deducted from the rent that the awarded company will pay in the future. So it's not an amount that will stay for the whole duration of the contract, but will decrease with the time of the concession. And it is a formula, so the winner has to pay based on a certain formula.
No questions at the moment. I confirm, there are no more questions.
Thank you very much for your time. Have a nice evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is over. Thank you for calling.